listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Monday, live from Las Vegas, broadcasting on 225 FSR stations across this great, great nation. In studio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you do your pecs. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Steve Fezzik in the house. Maybe the best NFL handicapper walking the planet Earth. Sports bettors, listen for the money. Sports fans, listen to no more than their buddies. Big day, a lot of action, a lot of millionaires upset that they might have to play a game. Little hint at my tone. Speaking of a man that doesn't miss much work, I mean, he's got to be forced to miss a day. He's in L.A., Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we have an NBA season that now has some question marks, players in the NFL testing positive for the coronavirus, what is the Vegas lead here on a Monday?
These players are out of touch. No, yeah, obviously. But we'll get to it. And I think the top story is baseball. This is a sport, if you're above 40, let's say, 40 or older, you can remember when baseball was truly America's pastime. That the most important thing, sporting event in a year, was the baseball season. We're a long way from that, and it seems like baseball is trying their best to hit rock bottom as quick as possible.
Yeah, after another weekend of back and forth in the media, on social media, with proposals and then declining proposals and rejecting offers and this and that, it came out on Monday that Commissioner Rob Manfred, after last Wednesday saying 100% sure that we would have a baseball season, he's now no longer sure we'll have any baseball at all in 2020.
First thing we're going to lead with is Manfred's statement had very specific intent in this negotiation. I would not be worried as much as it sounds like we should be by saying, I'm just not sure. You know, the doctor comes out and says, he's going to make it. 6 hours later, you know, I'm not sure. That's cause for worry. I don't think it's cause for worry here. And the reason is, I think baseball is considering this to be a deal breaker, and it would be the only deal breaker they've actually had so far, meaning the players have won every element of this if we discount the perception from the fans. If it was just dollars and cents, the players have won everything. I mean, think about what the negotiation was. The players started out saying, we want 100% based on the March agreement. Now, remember, there was no discount of the March agreement if there wasn't fans, but there was left the negotiation of, hey, if revenues are going to be down, we'll talk about it. So it's not like they signed at 100% and then the owners wanted to renege. It was, hey, things have changed. What are we going to do to meet in the middle? So at the beginning, the player said, give us 100%. You don't have to give us any more, but we'll take the 100%. The owner said, oh, we don't like to pay 100. We're going to say 75%. That was, what, Jonas, almost 2 months ago, it feels like?
Yeah, yeah, that was 2 months. Jeez, has it been that long? Yeah, about 2 months ago, yeah.
All right, so 2 months ago, in this corner, think to your left, they got big bellies. They got expensive shirts with French cuffs on. They don't even have to, I mean, the French cuffs, but they have a butler probably that does it. And there's a strange number of young PR gals walking around, you know, carrying clipboards. And then in the other corner, you got the players. Now, the players, they don't have pot bellies. Millionaires versus billionaires, right? Well, let's just say this. A lot of people that don't understand the fans, it seems, or at least don't care, but we got the sides. Players saying 100%, owners saying 75%. As the weeks and months go by, the closest they came the owner said, you know, we'll go to 83, 75 to 83, meaning you just play, take a 17% discount on your salaries, guys. And even though there's no one in the fans, you know, no fans, no concessions, we'll do it. We'll play more games, 82, whatever. Player said, you know, we're going to keep it to 100. Literally, they haven't moved a penny. They started saying we want it all, and they are ending saying we want it all. Does that sound like a true representation of what's happened, Jonas?
Yeah, they're not budging at all. It's the owners that have gone public with their proposals, and the baseball players and MLBPA have pretty much made jokes about the offer and how it's no different than what they were offering the last time.
And by all accounts, the owners are telling the truth that this will be a losing proposition. Playing this season, if all the owners cared about was their bank books at the end of this year, a myopic short-term view, they'd be better off not playing. But the owners have a long-term horizon when it comes to the health of baseball. They own it. Right? Rent a car versus a car you own. You treat it differently. Now, the players, you would hope, this is their game. They grew up on it. I don't know. What I know is that most of the players, you know, above 25, they might, you know, they got years left. But how many more contracts do they have? Meaning those contracts are locked. These are guaranteed deals. So really, the power brokers in baseball, the guys with the big names, we'll be talking NBA, those power brokers, what they've been talking about, thinking about. But in baseball, what's really at stake other than the heart financially if baseball drops 20-30% in revenue, like some drastic drop? Yeah, they'll lose a little something, but it's small. If baseball drops 20-30% for the owners, billions and billions of dollars. So just looking at the pure math of it, the owners have a ton of exposure. It's like that game of chicken, right? So you got two cars heading straight at each other. Who's going to be chicken? Well, the owners have precious Picassos and Van Goghs in the backseat. Maybe caviar from Russia pre-war. Players, they're in like T-shirts, ready to jump out of the car if they need to. So that thing's just barreling ahead. The owners have been taking this negotiation. The players have won because they've cared less. Usually the people that care less win a negotiation because they'll go to doomsday first. And at a certain point, the people that's got more at stake says, oh, too much risk, too much, we'll concede. But that's where this comes in, today's statement. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. It feels like baseball, who's going to lose money, the owners, is saying we can't have an exposure. And the argument here is, can the players file a grievance? Even though baseball is saying, we'll take the loss, the owners. We don't want to take having another World Series. And the players are saying, nah, we'll keep 100. And, you know, we might even complain about it after. We might start a legal proceeding after. Talk about pressing your advantage. I mean, 100% is not good enough. They want a right to sue over getting 100%. And literally, that's the point where Manfred coming in and saying, you know something? I promised you. Jonas mentioned it. I promised you last week. I didn't realize they'd act like this. We can't even promise that. Remember, Manfred works for the owners. He's their representative. He's there pushing the negotiation points that the owners want. And the owners are saying, you know something? They're not going to concede anything, even not to sue us for paying them 100% of every game they play, not the games they don't play. I think this is strategic and that it's the one thing they want to win. Now, would they walk away? Would they literally not have a World Series over it? I don't know. But boy, and let me start with you, Feds, and go to Jonas. Forget the past, forget the books, open it, whatever. Right here, it seems like the owners have, you know, to have a season. Now, we've already lost the opportunity to have baseball bring us together as a country, to be front and center alone in July of the major sports. We've lost that already.
No doubt.
Over what? 100%? We're not moving. I mean, not much concession. Oh, in fact, zero. But the idea of having a second World Series loss after the strike in 94, after a pandemic, that's the response? Do you really think the players can sit back and say, nah, no concession, nah? I don't know. I mean, they've done it, but there's a saying, you can win the battle but lose the war. You got to wonder, are they losing the war? Are they losing the fans? What's your thoughts?
I think the owners, rightfully so, are upset with the players. There was never a counteroffer. You mentioned it.
Well, there is no counter. They're 100%.
100%.
Pay me my money.
Oh, and by the way, we're willing to play until it snows outside. The players saying, we'll play 114 games, 89 games.
Yeah, so there was a lot of, listen, any negotiation is going to have, posturing. It's going to be where they're saying something for effect. They're saying something for the fans, for the judge, whoever. But at the heart of it, the numbers don't lie. Owners were willing to take, even at 83 cents on the dollar. So the players taking a 17% pay cut. If they would have played 82 games, the owners would have lost the same amount. So it would have been more games, and we still just lose the same amount. The players would have had more money. They would have played more games. But at 83 cents on a dollar, playing 82 games, you would have made more money than 100 cents on the dollar, 48. So they literally fought all this for vacation days, effectively, to have days off and to make less money. Not paid vacation, but literally vacation they weren't going to be fully paid for. They said, yeah, give us the extra vacation.
Yeah, the exact...
We're tired after the pandemic.
Yeah, the exact details, that 83% was the June 12th latest owner's proposal. The players would have made 37 cents on the dollar versus their expectation to start the year. That's a lot more than 30 cents on the dollar playing only 48 games.
28, 24, more. 22, 20. Just keep hitting numbers. 18, 24.
3.7 mil instead of 3 mil for a player.
So you're saying, maybe actually say that statement.
Okay, so a player that was going to make 10 million to start the year.
All right, so we're taking a hypothetical player making
right.
10 million.
Okay, if you only play 48 games, he makes 3 million.
Okay, so that's pro rata.
Mm-hmm. But on the latest owner's proposal, he would have made $3.7 million. Would have been better off.
All right. A lot of numbers came into that. But as I said, they would have made more money by playing the games. So Jonas, as the guy who's the cynic here, we're in a media landscape, quite frankly, with sports, that everyone is rushing to say, wait, millionaires are closer to the people than billionaires. I want to side with them. Is this even defensible in your mind?
I side overall with the players. I think, we've talked about this, that when you're an owner, you accept the risk, not just the reward. And that's really what this is about. Yeah, you're going to take a loss as an owner. But I think we all have to, the longer this goes on, take a step back and acknowledge this entire thing is a diaper fire and everybody's hands are dirty. Everybody's got blood on their hands. So the fact that neither side could just look in the moment and realize how much it could impact their entire sport down the road is crazy to me.
Let me ask you this. Let's say that you could go back in time and you could dictate what the owners did. It was Jonas's ownership group that you had all the proxy votes for. So you controlled it. Power of attorney, baby. What could you have done from the owner's perspective to get us playing baseball sooner?
Acknowledged that we made a mistake in the first negotiation. And instead
you mean the mistake was what though?
Well, when they agreed to that they would pay the players their prorated salaries and then not factor in if we don't have fans, that's also a lot of money that we're going to lose.
But my understanding is they contemplated that and said, listen, we got to get this deal signed now and we'll negotiate that down the road.
Yeah, I don't know that was the case. I mean, I haven't heard that, but the way I've seen it is that the players negotiated that original deal and then it was the owners who came back after the fact and said, but wait. There's more stuff that we weren't thinking about.
Let's get to the bottom of that because I'm hearing that it was contemplated and tabled. But to me, after that, and let's say it was an oversight, but we'll get to the bottom of it. The owners have said we are willing to lose. Here's the conclusion. The owners have said we are willing to lose a lot of money to make sure the season doesn't get lost. They're going to lose with a 48-game season. Just they're going to lose, especially with the lack of revenue, no fans, et cetera. The player said, we'd rather play less games, even if it means we make less money. one group is willing to lose to play the season, the other group to make the season longer, even half of a normal season, won't actually do it for more money because they want even more than that. The past is the past, meaning I don't mean it doesn't matter. I mean, we can negotiate, well, what they did back in 2002. But this time, I'm not sure how the owners got took. I mean, meaning they got beat up in this negotiation. And ultimately, the owners just took it. They could have taken their ball and go home. They could say, we're not going to play this. The fact they keep saying, we're going to play, that gives the power to the players. The only question is, at what cost? Because the fans, I don't know if they see it, but if you're a straight out of Vegas listener, you have to. The players haven't thought about the fans at all. I want to see one thing, final thought, if anyone's got it. Fez, Jonas, tell me one thing the players have done that wasn't in their self-interest, but was the fans were a consideration.
You know, nothing. The only thing is minor concessions like, oh, we were willing to be mic'd up, we're willing to play more playoff games, nothing of any significance.
Willing to play more play and get paid for playing more games 100%. That was their concession.
Yes.
Give us more money than you're making, and we'll actually do it more. Double it up, baby. And that's what you call concession. All right. So no concessions. When we come back, ultimate concession, perhaps the NBA.
That's coming up next, but first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get into the outlook for a 2020 NBA season.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Who's worse? This is like the one son is just got armed robbery. The other one just stole two cars. I don't know. Ask the judge. It's a fun day to join us, though. This is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Audiences doubled, more than doubled, actually, in the last year. Thank you so much for the support. This is going to be a heck of a football season. Heck of a season. You can listen on all those terrestrial stations over the air, free in your car, 225. You can check out what stations are available at foxsportsradio.com. Right here in Las Vegas on the Strip. 99 degrees, and the neon is still on.
So, RJ, there's some questions about whether or not the 2020 NBA season will resume in Orlando at the bubble as previously planned after a Zoom call with Kyrie Irving, among others, including Dwight Howard, talking about some of the social issues happening in the country and whether or not it's the best idea to go continue the season with everything going on.
Jonas, I think you got faulty information. And I'm not saying it's your fault, but I don't think Zoom works if the earth isn't round. So
that's
I don't
true.
Think Kyrie was on a Zoom call.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm
point.
Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. So Kyrie's not playing in the playoffs, right?
No.
Correct.
But he's leading the charge to not play.
Yes.
Hasn't he accomplished that for himself? He's still getting paid. This is like a mother and a father dealing with a 15-year-old kid that they never, ever said no to. And finally, he got big enough and monstrous enough that they had to have like a meeting. It was probably in an undisclosed location because the kid might show up. But I'm going to ask a question and I'm going to be serious. I've been doing this show. We did the weekend show before that. For years, I've been following even non-gambling sports every day. Well, not every day. Almost every day. Every day there's a show for sure. I can read a lot in one day, though. Catch up. When has there ever been a consensus? And Jonas will be the best answer for this, but anyone can answer. When has there been a consensus that the players collectively are wrong? They're asking for too much. They're not giving the fans their due. They don't appreciate the opportunity. Whatever the feedback was, I want to hear the last time collectively media, who's the watchdogs, who's supposed to be critiquing, said, nah, that's unfair. Nah, you're being spoiled. Jonas, anything jump out?
No, I can't think of anything, especially NBA. I mean, those players are worshipped. So, yeah, I can't think of anything.
Fez?
Everyone supports the players. The millionaires, people more relate to than the billionaires.
Is that on a fortune cookie? You got that? I think it's complex, right? I think part of it, and Jonas can speak to this, part of it is most people who go into sports, it's any good. And let's be candid. You can say, oh, Clay Travis, he's got goofy political beliefs. It's like, yeah, Clay's a smart guy. You can agree with his beliefs or not. There's brilliant people on the right. There's brilliant on the left. No doubt. You can say, Skip Bayless, he got made a fool by Mark Cuban way back when. Huh? Okay. He's making millions. These are smart people. So local radio, you never know. Hey, big cities, local radio is a very profitable thing. Guys make hundreds of thousands. You know, Francesa made millions. But if you're going to be on Fox TV, you're going to be on national radio, you're a smart guy to start with. You're not dumb. All right? Now, why go into sports if you're smart? Meaning if you could be a lawyer or a talk show host. Now, I got the idea that if you were offered this show or national show, you're going to take that over be a lawyer. God. But if it was starting from scratch and you're going to be like Jonas, literally, and again, he's a hero of all the things. I like, there's three or four things I really respect about Jonas, but the long climb, washing dishes, traveling across the country. I mean, you were mopping up at local stations,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was rough.
You had no idea you were going to make it to L.A., the lights. You know, it's probably singing Jim Morrison, L.A. Woman, when he's driving in. If you knew you were going to be Jonas now, I mean, maybe dealing with me, you might want to be a lawyer. But, I mean, otherwise, you'd take this job, take Jonas. But if you're going to start in Charlotte or something, some place I don't even know the name of, probably not. So why would these people, these national hosts now, the Colin Cowherds of the world, everyone that's at that level, because you love sports.
Exactly.
And if you love sports and you're a guy, chances are you wanted to play sports. And chances are you weren't all that good. And chances are, I think Skip Bayless had 2 yards or something, wasn't it? They figured out. And chances are you're what they call, I don't even know if it's the right way to say it anymore, but they used to call it a jock sniffer. It was someone who just liked to be around the athletes. And my thought is that it's a dream come true to sit down with Terry Bradshaw for a lot of people, sit down with Jimmy Johnson. And now you've been co-opted. Now you're part of, hey, if you say something wrong, if you say something too harsh about the players, you might not get invited to that big dinner at the Super Bowl. So Jonas, you seem to stay out of that orbit. But in general, how much do you believe the buddy-buddiness with the media guys and the elite athletes who are retired affects the media guys and their incessant enabling of these players?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just easier to get those invites when you don't, you know, rip a guy for his performance during a game. And that happens. It's why former players who are critical bother a lot of current players, whether it's Rodney Harrison or some of these other guys who are critical after the fact because they don't understand the idea of, wait a second, you used to be one of us. Why are you criticizing us? And their whole point, guys like Rodney Harrison have always said, my paycheck now comes from NBC or Fox or wherever. I'm no longer a member. They're able to compartmentalize. A lot of people aren't. They just associate them together, and it's better for their career and off in the mic, off on the mic or off the mic.
Yeah, I agree. And the reality is, even if you're, now listen, you get to be Collins level, you're famous enough by yourself on your own, maybe going to dinner, you know, you're still going to enjoy it. You still grew up watching these guys. But if you're at that tier below that, where you don't have 3 hours on TV every day, I mean, Fez, you have a famous story, RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, that Mike Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski. I mean, Jonas, did he tell this on air? I can't remember. He literally sat and stared at him for like 20 minutes, just hoping that you were somehow in the same restaurant.
Yeah, Michael's restaurant, the South Point. Yep.
And you were saying, like, I hope he goes to the bathroom. You think he had a water before? I hope he. And then you literally were just waiting to accost him in the men's lavatory. Is that correct?
Oh, it is.
And how long ago was this?
It was when he was coaching the Olympic team. So how many years ago was that?
I mean, like 3 or 4?
Years ago, yeah.
Yeah, he coached your last team, right? Yeah. So in 16. And I mean, this guy already was barely, you know, he had done a bunch of national radio.
Man.
It was just like, could you imagine if he actually like signed your hand or something? If you said, sign my tie or, you know, my hand. If he would have signed you like with a Bic marker, you would have like had it in a plastic bag, sealed it up. And imagine then he said, you know, next time we're in town next summer, maybe you can come to the team function and hang out and tell us about, you know. Could you imagine you going on radio and saying anything bad about Coach K?
Never in a million years.
Luckily, I don't care.
It's true.
I don't, because I would much rather hang out with someone that could teach me something. And I promise you, about sports, teach me something. But it's not about fame. And I think fame is awesome. I mean, meaning that if someone's famous, it's cool. When I did Ballers, and I was doing the scene with The Rock. By the way, second episode of the third season, if you haven't seen it. I think it's the first time we mentioned that, Joe. That's a pretty good thing, I think. I mean, you know. Oh, wait, I have a sound drop.
In RJ, we trust, baby. What's up? Throw on them, baby. Here we go.
Let's get it.
Tuition paid.
I enjoyed it. But you think I'm going to not, you know, if The Rock was playing nose tackle, you think I'd say he was good when he wasn't? But it's what people do. And also the owners don't do themselves any favors. But what is the consequence of this? The players are never told no. It's natural with children and politics, whatever it is, you go to the point of resistance. If Jonas wanted to take days, he's the opposite. He doesn't want to take days off. But let's say that they didn't have a formal schedule. You could, you know, take them off. Just don't abuse it. What's going to happen? The ones that want to take the days off are going to take until they say, oh, enough. And then they stop. Right? Fez, if you're getting over on someone, what do?
Keep taking. Keep taking until the wrist gets slapped with the ruler.
Exactly. No one snaps these or slaps these players. No one. I was watching literally so much ESPN, FS1. I didn't hear one person say one thing about the players. No one said, you know, it's like, what happens to the fans? And that's what everyone's losing sight of. The fans have to be feeling disconnected. I feel disconnected. When NFL players had off-season jobs, it was like, I can relate to this guy. Yeah, he might make the Hall of Fame. He's famous. He's got more money than me. But you know something? That's Bradshaw, but Mike Webster, John Kolb, yeah, I know the linemen of the old Steelers, they off-season type jobs, maybe used cars. You even see on Ballers, the linemen got a job selling used cars. Now, that might be a little anachronistic, a little out of time, but it wasn't that long ago. So now it didn't feel like they hit the lottery and were complaining the whole time. And I know it's not that simple. I know that the players have been exploited in the past. I know that it's like hitting the lottery, so they should enjoy, they should have a lot of cool things. But if we stacked up, and let me ask Jonas, because he follows the media as much as anyone, we're straight out of Vegas. If you said, I want to take every word that's been said in the last year in the national airwaves where players are expressing their gratitude that they can play a game and have generational wealth. Because you might say, RJ, they earned that. They're that good. Best pool shooter in the world doesn't have generational wealth. Best dart thrower, best hacky sack player. There's all kinds of sports, all kinds of skills you can't even make a living at. Chess, which isn't a sport, but if you're the 15th best chess player in the world, you're teaching somewhere between tournaments. And the 15th best football player has, I don't know, a couple hundred million?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they don't deserve it because they're earning it. But they're earning it because of a relationship with the owners. And they're working together to have this amazing dream. But my question is, what percentage of time are you hearing gratitude and love of the fans? And what percentage are you hearing complaints?
Oh, God. I would say 80-20, complaints being 80.
That's a, you're being nice. What dinner are you trying to stay invited to?
Brady Quinn's, you know, just try.
So that's interesting. So you do a show on the week on Sundays, right?
Yeah.
Does he critique the players in any with any kind of fair? He does.
Yeah, he absolutely does. Yeah. He's calling games. He's calling college football games, and he's covering college football, but he's also doing NFL games. And although he has relationships with guys still to this day, he's not afraid to say if somebody makes a mistake or if somebody's not playing well, to be critical of them. But he's not a hot take artist in which you could be offended by it. And still, I've heard
stories. Well, that's your job on the show.
Yeah, that's what I do. But I've heard stories that somebody may have heard something and will reach out and say, what was that about? You know, like players do hear everything. So
now, how long was Brady in the league?
7 years, I think.
So he was that long. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All I know is this, ESPN, Fox, who do you hire? Former coaches, but they probably are, you know, a guy like Mangini, one of my favorite, analysts. But that's really it. Like the Zach Lowe's of the world, the guys that didn't really come from the sport, but analytics, they don't get hired very much because they don't have names before they start.
Right.
And to me, if you have three people on the panel and one like loves the players, the other one loves the players, and the other one triple loves them, there's no other side. And we can debate, is it safer in the bubble, blah, blah, blah. The thing that I find offensive, and we're going to see what's trending. I find it offensive that the dialogue from the players is, it's just not worth the money. I mean, I promise you, if they had 80% of their salary yet to be paid, there would be no debate about this. It's the last little bit of the money ain't worth it. And you know, if the fans don't get a NBA champion, not my problem. How else could they be thinking that this is becoming such a thing? And the NBA is by far the most player-friendly league there is. And Adam Silver, who apparently was so deliberative, he was contemplating, he didn't even think to poll the players to see if they agreed with this plan. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was a done deal, RJ, just on Friday. And now all of a sudden, all these players maybe don't want to play.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. You can check out the show on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
All right, let's get our last break in. When we come back, we're going to actually look at the merit or lack thereof of the NBA players who are skeptical about this. I think some of it makes sense and some of it doesn't.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So, RJ, we were discussing the concerns surrounding the NBA season resuming after concerns were expressed by Kyrie Irving and others on a call Friday night.
Have you checked about the flat earth and Zoom? I just think it's I really believe it's incongruent. You can't have it.
Yeah, it seems like it.
It's an oxymoron. You know what that is, Fez?
Jumbo shrimp.
There we go. An oxymoron means there's a phrase or a concept that contradicts itself, like Fez and charity. All right. So I want to make one thing clear. I'm not sure how valid the players are in this case, meaning I just ranted and I raved about what about the players don't seem to be held to account. The media doesn't critique them. And let's be honest, they're not all like this, but professional athletes usually have been the stars every time they entered any room since they were 12 years old. Every girl or most of the girls were interested. They didn't spend, Fez, those long nights by yourself. Oh, my God, the unending loneliness.
Studying chess openings.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine that, Jonas, chess openings. And then you went to Northwestern and joined the chess team, played well, and then you quit.
After my freshman year.
Yeah. We'll get into that someday. But the reality is these players have never really, oftentimes, generally, have been told no. And it's just human nature to keep forging ahead and take more and more and more if you're not told no. I'm saying let's look at their actions and judge them fairly, not so we can get invited to the next dinner. I'm not coming. I'm not interested. All right? I don't care. And to me, I don't like deadspin, you know, personal problems, but I did like that concept. It was without access. That was the original concept. We're not going to worry about press passes. We're not going to be worried about going to dinner. We're going to tell you what we think is true. I like that. Vegas, I care about Vegas. I don't care about, I don't know, some LA dinner. And I think more media guys doing that would make the players go, "Ho, we might get some feedback." Could you imagine, Jonas, that the players are saying, "You know, we shouldn't maybe say that because the media is going to be really tough on us." Is that even a con? It's like parents that never check curfew for 5 years. When the kids go out on Friday night, they're not worried about curfew. Do you believe, Jonas, the players are contemplating some backlash from the media?
No, I think some of them play the game a little bit better than others, so they'll give you sort of a typical answer. But for the most part, nobody is really thinking, you know, if I say this, you know, RJ and Fez are going to crush me, you know, the next Monday when we come
in. Well, they probably heard about Fez and Coach K and said, scratch him off the list.
No part of it, yes.
Dwight Howard to CNN said basketball or entertainment period isn't needed at this moment and will only be a distraction. I'm not saying that's a wrong statement. I don't particularly agree with it, but I haven't thought it all the way through. I know that leagues haven't shut down at any time in the past, and I'm not saying maybe in some other scenario they could have had a platform. Maybe they would have become a great professor at Princeton. I'm being a little sarcastic, but they have a platform because they play basketball. Now, a guy like LeBron has transcended that, but he transcended it on the back of basketball or through the Superman-esque flying and transcended it, but it was about basketball.
And LeBron is full speed ahead with starting the season. It's interesting that Dwight Howard, his teammate, apparently not very motivated to play.
Now, Irving, maybe not a flat earther, said something smells a little fishy. So there's a conspiracy theory. Now, Jonas, what is the implication? Like, what do you have any sense of what Kyrie Irving thinks is the master plot against the players are being paid tens of millions to play basketball?
I have no idea, and I'm not even sure if he knows, because a week ago they had a vote on this, and one of his big questions was what sort of alcohol is going to be served. what changed in a week?
You know, the perfect example of how the media is so derelict in their duty, so falling short. Here it is. The fact that Durant is ready to play, he's choosing not to play, and there's not anyone even questioning it. It's not even a question.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can grab your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. We are back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and, as always, on the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!